Hello, I'm Emily. I'm head of ESG at Ibstock PLC. We make bricks and concrete products for the housing market and the infrastructure market across the UK. So I'm just really going to take you through our decarbonisation journey as it is, and leave you with a few of our challenges, which we've heard from other companies as well, but I've also heard some solutions that we hadn't heard about today, so I'm very excited to be able to be here and hopefully take some of those with us. So we're a FTSE 250 company. We've got about 2,000 employees across the UK, and we've got 33 manufacturing locations. We've got 16 clay brick factories, so that's where we're firing clay from local quarries to produce bricks to build homes across the UK. We have a number of other products, but mostly I will be talking about bricks today. We're across the UK, so you can see a range of sites there. We are unfortunately not in many clusters, and this is one of the challenges of the ceramics sector. Unfortunately, clay doesn't appear to be in the right places if you want access to hydrogen quite soon. But there are solutions, I've heard them, and hopefully we'll be able to take on board some of those. So just to give you a very quick overview of our environment, social and governance strategy at Ibstock, like many corporate businesses, we are tackling climate change. We're looking at manufacturing our materials so that they're fit for the future, so manufacturing materials for life, and also improving lives. So that is really tackling the skills agenda and working with our communities where we work. Our biggest issue by far is carbon. So we are an energy intensive user, and our carbon journey, we have set an ambitious target to be net zero for scope 1 and 2 emissions by 2040 and net zero for our scope 3 emissions before 2050. So just a little bit about our impact. So in 2023, we emitted 345,000 tons of carbon. And you can see there from the breakdown, the majority of that comes from our gas usage. Process emissions, so as you fire clay, you release carbon. So we have a process emissions challenge very similar to the glass industry, and actually fairly similar proportions, so about 60-40 in terms of the split of those emissions. How we're tackling that is really through our kind of governance of our decarbonisation. So we have three areas of focus that I'll take you through. That's operational efficiency, which is still a huge opportunity for our sector. We have decarbonising materials, and then we have alternative fuels. So I'll just touch on each of those. Just looking at decarbonisation in a bit more detail, and Tim from Ceramics UK will talk a bit more about this later, but across the sector, we've obviously got very similar challenges, and so we're working very closely together on lots of those carbon challenges. And we have recently launched the Ceramics UK roadmap. Ibstock's the biggest member of Ceramics UK, so we're the biggest brick producer in the UK, about 600 million bricks. So this is hugely important to us and very aligned to our own decarbonisation strategy. So just a little bit more detail on operational efficiency. We can get about 15% carbon reduction through our operational efficiency, and that is still a huge challenge for us as a business. And talking about things beyond operational efficiency, like alternative fuels and carbon capture, seems quite a big challenge for the industry. We know we need to take it, and we know we've got to do it, but we've still got to do all of the day-to-day stuff as well. So we make investments, we're improving our factories all the time, but that is a challenge. So we've recently, for example, done a £12 million investment in our Aldridge factory, and that's around automation and aligning the dryers with heat from the kiln so that we're not wasting energy there. And we got a 19% reduction for that factory in carbon, which is fantastic. And then the harder bits come. But we're still looking at gas optimization. It's not an advanced industry. Bricks have been made in the same way for many, many, many years, and now suddenly saying, right, well, let's change the fuel and let's capture the carbon and let's sort out the material science. It's a big step for the industry. It's moving really fast. Our customers are extremely demanding on how we move. So we know we've got to do it, but there is an awful lot to do, and it's a very big ship to turn. So some big challenges, and we're still, you know, working on getting the business case for LED lighting. Come on. So, you know, there are lots of challenges that we face, and so stepping into alternative fuels is slightly mind-blowing, but I promise we are getting there. Oh, I was meant to click and show you pictures. Click, click. This is a kiln. So this is quite interesting. If you can see through those orange people, this is our new kiln at Atlas in Warsaw, which is going through commissioning currently. And I think you can just see all of the silver lines there. That's all of our burners going through there. So looking at, even with a new factory that we're building now, hasn't been built to be hydrogen ready. So that is another step that we'll have to take, just because this journey is coming so quickly for us. So there are some really interesting challenges through our investments. So estate renewal and investment is another opportunity for us. So obviously closing old factories and opening new ones. Atlas closed during COVID, and we've reinvested 60 million to get 105 million bricks from that factory. It'll be 50% lower carbon compared to the previous factory, so we can make those improvements, but we still are going to need to go further. Even though it's a very recent investment, there's going to have to be more investment to shift those burners across to hydrogen and to implement hydrogen on that site. So on to alternative fuels. We have about 60% of our scope 1 emissions come from natural gas. On electricity, we've converted, as many have, to renewable sources, and we are working with the ceramics sector. So again, Tim will talk about this a bit later, on proving that hydrogen firing for the ceramics sector is okay. We have government funding for that, and we're working across the whole ceramic sector to be able to demonstrate that. We are then looking at our whole estate, so our 16 factories. We're looking at our investment plans for that. We're looking at trying to match where hydrogen pipelines might be coming first and how they can reach them, and then looking at where we might have to do on-site production for those that won't be reached in time to help us meet our objectives. So we're a bit of a patchwork at the moment, really trying to work out where it all fits together. So hugely useful to hear the plans and the progress from today. One of our competitor companies, which I think this is brilliant, have done some research on hydrogen and have got the first 100% hydrogen fired clay bricks into the Science Museum in a little bench, which I thought was wonderful. So we know we can do it. It's just getting the real evidence behind that, and that demonstration project will really help us to do that. That's Michelmersh who've done that. We're also looking at synthetic gas production from domestic waste. So we've done a successful pilot on site for that, which doesn't get us to 100% reduction on the fuel, but does get us some of the way. And from an economic and commercial perspective, is quite attractive. So there are different ways that we are looking at reducing our carbon from fuels. And then the final challenge, which is really interesting to hear from Valet. In sunny Wales, and I'd love to have a chat about algae, because process emissions for us are a real challenge. So the carbon that comes out of our clay, it provides about 30 to 40% of our scope 1 emissions, and there's plenty that we can do on that. So when we're looking at the traditional brick, it's been made the same size and the same way for many, many years. There is still things you can do. You can take out some of that material. You can make a lighter product. So the void space reduction, the perforation design, all of those sorts of things we are going through. In Europe, bricks are just thinner. Why aren't bricks thinner here? So there's lots of different things we can do. And we're also looking at brick slips. So increasingly, with bricks being used in high-rise in the post-Grenfell era, slips for high-rise is a huge market. So we've, again, one of the factories we closed during COVID is being rebuilt as the first at-scale slips factory in the UK. Still requires firing, so we'll still need an alternative fuel solution. But yes, lots of sort of development in the material part of how we're decarbonising the materials that we're putting into our products. Increasing recycled content obviously is an option for us, And all of this is being kind of measured by our customers. So we have Barratt Homes and Vistry and all of the big house builders. Does that mean 5 minutes or 5 seconds? Oh, I've got ages. Oh, great. This is my last slide. Our customers are really driving us on our products, really wanting to see how we're going to go on a journey. And to be honest, for Bricks, we need to be able to show them that those products are going to get to a very low carbon position, because otherwise they will use alternative materials. So Bricks do not want to be the kind of Nokia of the construction world. So having that journey and being able to demonstrate how we're going to get there is hugely important for our relationships with our customers. So I guess my challenges and questions for this audience are, how do we help the ceramics sector that is very dispersed and not near clusters achieve alternative fuels and certainly hydrogen? And I know I've spoken to a couple of people here today that have potential solutions for that, but how do we make that easy for the ceramic sector? And also on process emissions, what are the solutions out there that can really help us to solve that challenge and really decarbonise bricks so that the UK is still building with bricks in 20 years' time? That's it.
Please, thank you, Emily. Thanks, Emily. That was fantastic. So all about, quite literally, building a net zero future.